Get the Angelry special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating restaurants for a limited time.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us to face each threat head on. We've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Kate Lindsay. And you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it,
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And Kate, do you watch The White Lotus?
I do watch The White Lotus. I can't say I necessarily watch for the murders anymore. Sure. I kind of tune in aspirationally. I would like to stay at a White Lotus resort.
Same.
The happenings have not turned me off. I want to be one of the background characters, though. Like, I don't want anything to happen to me. I don't want to be a character in it. But I want to be, like, the one who's in the pool a few chairs behind, looking over, like, that family seems weird. But, like, I'm not part of the drama in any way. But are you watching? What do you think of this season?
Yeah, I am watching this season, and I gotta say, it's not the best season of White mm-hmm. Lotus to me, but I do think it's still, like, captivating Sunday appointment TV. I'm always sitting there. What I do find interesting about this season, though, is that usually when a new season of White Lotus drops, there's always, like, a moment or a clip that goes viral. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, these gays are trying to murder me, Jennifer yep. Coolidge.
Please, these gays, they're trying to murder me.
I'm thinking that pic of Sydney Sweeney in the lounge chair with the book giving you, like, the nastiest mm-hmm. Gen Z look of your life that I still see people use as memes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, there. Especially, I feel like last season there was a lot of good memeage in there. But I think that's a good point that each season does kind of have kind of one big breakout viral moment. And I know it's early, but I think we might have had one with the most recent mm-hmm. episode, because I've seen it on my timeline, in my stories, everywhere. And it's Leslie Bibb and Carrie Coon sitting at this, like, really uncomfortable dinner.
Yeah, so this is from episode 3. Leslie, Carrie, and their third friend, Michelle Monaghan, they are three besties. They have this weirdly tense dynamic, very girl, so confusing sometimes. We both probably have been at tables like this. The scene is, Michelle, she asks Leslie, like, oh, is it weird going to church in Austin, Texas, because they're so conservative?
Yeah, and this friend group has known each other forever. Michelle's a Hollywood actress. Carrie's a New York lawyer. But also, what I think this really nails, like, side note, is I don't know if you've ever been in, like, a trio friendship, mm-hmm. but this is exactly why they can turn toxic, because sometimes it just becomes two people are just shit talking whatever person isn't there. But so they're kind of in that.
Exactly. And Leslie is kind of like, oh, no, why would it be uncomfortable? And Carrie's like,
you didn't vote for Trump, though, did you?
Are we really going to talk about Trump tonight?
Oh, my Ooh. God. Really miss in the sort of podcast version of this is the face that Leslie Bibb mm-hmm. makes. This, like, scrunchy mm-hmm. little smile that, like, says it all of, like,
I know.
She absolutely did. Yeah.
Yeah. And even Michelle Monaghan's face of just, like, oh, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I think this recent clip is circulating online first because, look, hey, it's a great piece of writing from creator Mike White, who wrote and filmed the season before the election. Interesting. And it's great face acting from Leslie Bibb, who you just mentioned is kind of just like smiling, closed mm-hmm. lips, says everything while saying nothing.
It's a little bit of a fourth wall break, or like an escapist wall break for White Lotus, because normally you tune in and you're watching it. It does feel relevant to the current culture. It definitely touches on a lot of modern tropes, but I think this is one of the first times we've ever seen them so explicitly mention, like, current events and, you know, mentioning Trump by name, mm-hmm. which is so interesting because this was filmed before the election. And I just keep being like, what if he didn't win?
I
ask that question every day. But but in this case, too, now, without knowing, it accidentally became kind of this conversation that I think a lot of people have ended up having since this past November. We all kind of have been at this table. Trump supporters are among you, and it could be any white woman on the street, even as this shows, like, your lifelong friend.
Yeah. And for me, it makes me wonder, is it that younger voters are having this conversation now because this is like their first Trump admin? Or is it because this question of what does a Trump supporter look like? Has it changed between now and 2016?
Yeah, this what a Trump supporter looks like, I would say that's one of the biggest questions and revelations happening these past few months. And I wonder if it feels so prescient to people because they're also experiencing it online with their favorite influencers. So I think when it was more kind of taboo to be conservative, any influencers who voted that way were maybe quiet about it, but it meant that we only got to see the ones who were loud about it. And so the image of a conservative influencer was really specific. It was like an angry white man or, you know, like a trad wife who's like really just like homeschooling, ballerina farm vibes. But now what's kind of happening online is mainstream creators or, you know, the Leslie Bibbs are coming out with the fact that actually they are conservative and maybe they have been this whole time. And now the environment is just sort of more friendly to them saying it, but it shocked some followers because, you know, they didn't look like what we thought conservative influencers looked like. But then, you know, we had other people kind of being like, actually, the signs were there.
Yeah. Signs like Republican makeup.
Please say more.
Oh, I will, because that's just one of the many trends that has emerged as conservative influencers have become more prominent in online culture. But first, let's take a break. After the break, we'll explore what the Republican makeup trend says about how we view influencers. And later, why Nashville is becoming the conservative LA.
Get the Angelry special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
This episode is brought to you by Built. If you earn points on groceries, travel, and practically everything else you buy, why not consider earning points on one of the biggest monthly expenses, rent? Built changes the game by letting renters earn high-value points on rent. There's no cost to join Built, and as a member, you'll earn valuable points on rent and on your everyday spending. Built points can be transferred to your favorite hotels and airlines, and even the ones you haven't heard of. There are over 500 airlines and 700,000 hotels and properties around the world you can redeem your Built points toward. Points can also be redeemed towards a future rent payment and unique experiences that only Built members can access. So if you're not earning points on rent, you have to ask yourself, why not? Start earning points on rent you're already paying by going to joinbuilt.com/ICYMI. That's joinbuilt.com/ICYMI. Be sure to use joinbuilt.com/ICYMI to start earning points on your rent payments today.
Hi, listeners. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We're thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so make sure you never miss an episode, like this past Wednesday's on how Meghan Markle's new Netflix show attempts to rebrand the Duke and Duchess of Sussex despite internet hate and questions about their business acumen. And we're back. Okay, Candace, so you said Republican makeup before the break. What do you mean? Although some listeners, they might already have an image in their head.
Yeah, so there is this TikTok going around by a creator. She's a comedian named Suzanne Lambert. Let's hear a little bit of this TikTok that I saw.
Hey, I noticed that all of the Republican girlies in my comments do their makeup the exact same gorgeous way. So I thought that I would try to do it myself. Starting with the base, I'm not going to do any prep at all. We really want our makeup to cling to any dry spots and accentuate any texture that we might have. Starting with foundation. Now, I have cool undertones in my skin, meaning reddish pinkish undertones. So we want to choose a makeup that doesn't match the undertones of our skin. So I'm going in with my warmest foundation. Rather than using a brush, we're actually just going to apply directly to the skin and use our hands. That way it's streaky and it doesn't blend well. I also applied extra tanner to my hands so that it doesn't actually match anything. You'll notice that it's also really matte. I wanted a really matte finish. It's giving drained, it's giving dusty.
I've used my hands. I'm just learning in real time. I've been doing something Republican.
No, throughout this episode, we are both going to take a few shots. So basically, this is kind of like a mockery Get Ready With Me video by Suzanne, basically going step by step how Republican women do their makeup. The thing is, I think this TikTok is hilarious because it's true. Think about like Tiffany Trump, Meghan McCain, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the new White House press secretary. You've seen this look before, okay? It is no base, no primer, matte foundation, not blended in, very flat. The concealer, always three shades too warm, black eyeliner on the top and bottom, and a nude lip with as little top lip as possible.
I'm realizing as you're describing this, this is like what I wore in 2010.
Yes.
Like a nude lip with just like the blended right into your face, all the rage. But I think this is like one of the reasons why I love TikTok specifically is it's so good at like putting into words or articulating something that we all were familiar with, but we didn't even like realize we were all familiar with it. But it's also started some discourse, if you could imagine.
Yeah, obviously the MAGA girls are mad in the comments because, look, this TikTok is like coming at their looks, but specifically their version of beauty, which kind of seems to hit such a visceral trigger for them. I think one of them is probably the fact that, like you're saying, it's very much makeup that was very iconic before the Kylie lip kit of it all. So there's something there. But the other part of it is just that I think there is a bit of a misogyny coming out in the comments, an internalized misogyny where like coming for a Democrat or Republican's looks appearance. I think there is sometimes a conflation that a woman's appearance is supposed to be a comment on her morals, her politics, just like how she ethically walks through the world. And I think Suzanne coming after Republican women for their makeup, it is funny because like it's not really connected. Like the amount of foundation they use is not really connected to the hateful policies they hold in their heart. But at the same time, it kind of is. And so the other half of me is kind of like, I think the MAGA girls are just mad because like they've been raised knowing that they are the Western standard of beauty, that every makeup product they are using was marketed toward a person who looks like them. And yet they're getting absolutely blasted by people making fun of them for honestly how bad the makeup looks.
You know, if you really want to overthink it, kind of as you were talking, it's a little bit like what you choose to accentuate with your makeup is kind of what you've been told or have absorbed is like flattering about you or like what your purpose is. And so, yeah, there is a divide because I do think for the most part, if you're progressive or conservative, what you feel the role of a woman is probably a little bit different as your makeup's going to look different. And you can actually get a good look at Republican makeup in action in New York Magazine's January 27th cover story. So it's a photo spread from a number of inauguration parties that took place, all of which were conservative. And writer Brock Coyler had a really great line about witnessing, quote, the emerging influence of a newer type of conservative. They are not disenfranchised or working class or anti-elite or many of the other adjectives used to describe Trump supporters since 2016. Rather, they are young, imposingly well-connected, urban, and very online.
Yeah, because if you're not a girly, something you may not know is that putting on these looks, the multiple layers of foundation, especially if it's like Giorgio Armani, expensive, okay? And on top of that, the reason why Suzanne Lambert specifically calls out these women for having like foundation that's like three shades too warm, concealer that's five shades too light, it's because they're trying to go closer and closer to whiteness. They're already white. So it's like, what are you trying to say there? But Kate, you, are you a makeup person?
Do I wear Republican makeup?
Yeah.
No, I, something happened to me during COVID uniquely. Nothing else happened to anyone else. But, which is that I obviously kind of stopped putting on makeup. And then my relationship to makeup changed where it's basically like how much makeup I put on is an indicator of sort of how worth it I feel the thing I'm doing is to the amount of makeup it would use up to go. And so you might notice now and don't read into it that I am not wearing any makeup right now. But, you know, if we were going out for drinks after Candace, I would have sort of the full foundation, concealer, blush, mascara. But, you know, even with my friends at a certain point, if I'm just going over to sit on their floor and drink wine, which is normally what I do, they're going to get like mascara and concealer tops.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other way that we've kind of been influenced is like, does your makeup routine change depending on presence of camera? Like, if you know you're going to a birthday party where your friend's obviously going to take a million photos, even though you know you're not in the center of the photo, do you put on the look?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, really, actually, that's a lot of what I think about is like, will this be documented in cement, aka Instagram?
Exactly.
And then in that case, I need to cover my eye bags.
Exactly. I mean, look, I am the same. If I am meeting like a very close friend who's seen me, you know, sleepover, post dinner, spots and everything, you know, we are going makeup free. We're nude. If I'm going to a work event or, oh, I don't know, an influencer dinner. Okay. I know these girls are Giorgio Armani'd up, rare beauty, road peptide down. I have to show up. I have to pop out with my baddest, best look.
Exactly. But, you know, obviously this trend can be a little bit hard to engage with in like full whimsy because, you know, getting online and critiquing how women wear makeup is kind of entry level misogyny.
Yeah.
And in response, conservative creators have kind of started their own version of this, which is called liberal makeup.
Yeah. And this is where our little convos come in. Kate, when you brought up the fact that there is backlash to this, I obviously go on TikTok, right? And I'm looking up what's coming up under liberal makeup. Why was the first search my exact beauty routine? Why were they using my exact Maybelline concealer? I've been shot.
Yeah,
it just made me upset.
Sometimes you gotta hand it to them.
I know. They got me. They totally got me. But look, this specific trend has gotten Suzanne a lot of attention. It's come to the point where Suzanne calls herself a Regina George liberal because her argument is that Republicans come at Democrats for being too soft or too kind. So Democrats should be meaner and we should fight fire with fire. And maybe having a bad beat in this case is the fire.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like the whole weird thing that was happening on the leading up to the election. And like, you know, we'll stoop to that level now, I guess. Sure. But, you know, it's really, I don't know, the liberal makeup is kind of, you know, clean girl, road, rare beauty. If I make Candace, it looks great on you. So nothing to be ashamed of there. Republican makeup is kind of really caked on. And we were kind of talking a little bit about this earlier. Is this an expression of politics, or is it, you know, maybe it's about trying to fit into a room of women who also look like that, so you're just doing the same thing? But, you know, they have mirrors, they can see themselves. You, like, why do you think they are doing makeup in the way that is jarring but wearing it proudly?
And I mean, part of it's probably the fact that it's not jarring to them because everyone around them is wearing the same thing at the country club, right? And I think what it is makeup is now another signal. The MAGA hat, a signal. The layered makeup, a signal. It's them trying to attract who they want to attract, not even romantically, but politically.
Yeah. And those signals are getting just like a little bit more acceptable, because even if it's not makeup or a full MAGA hat, conservative influencers, or I guess new to us conservative influencers, they definitely are feeling more free to, like, quote unquote, come out as Republican leaning. I'm thinking of Brittany Xavier. I don't know if you know her, but she's been seen liking pictures of Donald Trump on Instagram. And she even wrote in a TikTok comment that she regrets voting for Biden in 2020 and that if J.D. Vance runs in 2028, she'll be at his rallies.
And
just
yeah, I'm just thinking like more years of J.D. Vance. People want that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think the White Lotus Leslie Bibb scene, it felt so visceral, especially online, because that is the relationship some people have had with influencers that have like come out as MAGA. You know, there's this feeling of betrayal where maybe you liked their content. They felt so familiar, if not similar to you. And you were like, oh, we have the same interests. We must have the same views. And then they signal who they voted for. And you are stuck with two options of like, okay, do I keep following this person and just like pretend that didn't happen? Or do I block, hit not interested, essentially cut them out of my life because this indeed is the deal breaker that will finally divide us?
It's like a friend breakup in a way, because you do have that relationship, even if it's parasocial. And so for a lot of people, differing politics could be the final straw. And unlike boycotting companies, which is kind of a sacrifice. You know, if I'm not going to order a plunger on Amazon, I do have to either wait a few more days or be seen carrying a plunger back from the store, which I don't love. But unfollowing an influencer, that isn't much of a sacrifice, really.
Yeah. And while it's not necessarily surprising, you know, Fortessa Latifi just wrote a piece for Rolling Stone reporting on creators who are like physically moving for some of these reasons, like the LeBrant family. They're family vloggers. They have like 12 million plus followers on YouTube. They announced they were moving from California to Tennessee. And interestingly, their representative explicitly said that, quote, Tennessee aligns more with their conservative values compared to California.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the LeBrant family moving to Tennessee, because that's kind of the other piece of this. Not only are conservative influencers becoming more mainstream online, they also seem to be building their own communities away from the more liberal states of California and New York. After the break, let's dive into what's happening in Nashville and what these shifting demographics could mean for the influencer industry as a whole.
This episode is brought to you by Pluto TV. Pluto TV has all the shows and movies you love streaming for free. That means laughter is free with gut-busting comedies like The Neighborhood, Key and Peele, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Mystery is free with countless cases to crack from Criminal Minds, Tracker, and Matlock. And thrills are free with heart-pumping hits like The Walking Dead and Defiance. Feel the free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
As a small business owner, my favorite thing about posting a job on LinkedIn is that when I hit post, I clock out and LinkedIn clocks in.
LinkedIn makes it easy to post your job for free, get qualified candidates, and manage them all in one place. Plus, LinkedIn extends the reach of your job post by allowing you to share it with your network. And hiring managers that add a hiring frame to their LinkedIn profiles receive 2 times more qualified applicants. Go to linkedin.com/achieve to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. So it's interesting we're talking about moving states, because that was actually how the conversation came up in The White Lotus when Leslie Bibb's character talks about like moving to Austin.
Yes, and this is a White Lotus podcast now, but no, Austin is another popular one. In fact, I was kind of reading about all of these shifting influencer demographics in Taylor Lorenz's newsletter called User Mag. She pulled this data from a company called Influencely, and it found that behind California and New York, Texas is actually the most popular place for influencers to live. After that comes Florida, Georgia, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Illinois, and then Tennessee.
Yeah, and pretty much the rest of the states influencers are most likely to live in are conservative states.
Yeah, that's what was interesting. And I think this has been happening under our noses, particularly with Nashville. Back in 2020, this influencer network and media company you might have heard of called The Daily Wire, it was started by Ben Shapiro. It relocated from Los Angeles to Nashville. And then kind of other notorious conservative figures followed suit. There's like Tommy Lahren, that's one of them. She's like a TBT to me, but she's still around. Yeah, and then you have the LeBrants, you have Cecily Bachman, you have Brittany Xavier, who we mentioned earlier. They also either live in or they're in the process of moving to Tennessee.
It makes sense. You know, Nashville, hotbed of country music, bachelorette parties, former Bachelor Nation contestants. I also kind of want to add, Huck to a Girl, discovered in Nashville.
Oh my God, yeah, none of whom I saw. I was actually there in the end of last year, and there's some really great food there, and there is some great culture there. A lot of it was kind of giving Epcot, but I'm not here to get down on Nashville because, you know, I'm sure it's great. Yeah. But in general, there's just been this move southward in entertainment. For instance, a lot of comedians decamp to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, that's where Joe Rogan lives. And in 2023, he opened a comedy club there. I think it's called Comedy Mothership.
Yeah, yeah. Whitney Cummings is another person. I don't know if anyone's been following her. She's been getting a little outrageous. And she similarly, when she started getting kind of backlash, was like, okay, I want to leave Los Angeles for Austin. It's a very specific move that is becoming popular. And then in Utah, of course, you have the whole Mormon mommy blogger scene. You have Mom Talk.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question I have now is like, what do these shifting influencer demographics mean for the future of influencing? Because a part of me could interpret this as like, oh, your political affiliations will dictate the brands and people you collab with simply because you live closer to like conservative hotbeds, you know, Austin, Nashville. But could that unity then become divisive?
I think there used to be this like huge reluctance for conservative influencers in particular to talk about politics because they didn't want to alienate a huge portion of their fan base. It's like, I think someone saying like, oh, let's not talk about politics, that became just like, you know, code for I'm conservative and I'm going to say something that'll make people mad at me and I don't want to. So that used to be the case, but now it seems like, I don't know, there's less hesitation because maybe they saw the country voted and they're like, oh, maybe this won't be received poorly. And so I actually think this might contribute to something that's already happening in influencer culture, which is sort of this shift away from having singular monocultural influencers, all of whom have millions of followers and everybody knows them. I think instead we'll start to see everyone having their own kind of collection of smaller influencers who are in their roster that they support because they're aspirational and their values align and not everyone's values are the same. So not everyone's influencers are going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. I also think what conservative means, what the definition means, will kind of start to be less clear cut, especially if more neutral or like liberal creators try to appeal to those viewers.
That's another thing I am like on alert for. Who has been publicly progressive or on the left is now about to go through a rebrand, a conservative rebrand, because they've noticed the money and the sort of goodwill is in these conservative spaces.
Yeah. I mean, luckily for you, they all have like digital footprints and receipts we can point to on their snark Reddit pages, which we may or may not run. Hey, we can't say.
Yeah, we may or may not. Yeah, no, we will be holding them accountable on this podcast. But, you know, I also am interested in following what happens after these Republican communities have settled, both, you know, online and their online spaces, but also physically in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Because a big reason this decamping is happening is because they're all kind of unified in their opposition to a common enemy. You know, comedians left LA or New York to go to Austin because of wokeness, and conservative influencers are moving to Tennessee because it more aligns with their values. But now that they've escaped whatever their common enemy is, will they be able to keep community when there isn't that enemy to be unified against?
Yeah. And you look at something like Republicans trying to make liberal makeup a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work because liberals then started making fun of themselves and doing liberal makeup routines that once again look too much like my routine. But they co-opted the joke, whereas I don't think Republicans are very good at making fun of themselves, especially in a way that's palatable and actually funny online.
Yeah, I agree. People also like to come at the left for like having no sense of humor, but a larger percentage of progressive people online will jump in on the joke, like especially Gen Z. Gen Z's whole thing is so unserious. It's like you can't make fun of them. They'll make fun of themselves first. But I think the only reason infighting is seen as kind of a left issue is because the left has dominated culturally the internet and the major influencer cities. And so they're kind of running into this problem that I think Republicans might run into, which is they only have each other to fight. Mm-hmm. But now the shoe is on the other foot. And if conservative creators are surrounded by only other conservative creators, maybe we'll start to see some of that fracturing or just discrepancies among conservatism. I mean, Mom Talk, they all started swinging.
And actually, if I may pitch Mike White for a second, clock in. I have an idea. Okay, what if we take this Leslie Bibb, Carrie Coon friend group concept, okay, next season, one of the guest groups, Dad Talk influencers, hold on now, and one of them comes out as a Democrat.
You know, he could do whatever he wants as long as I can stay at the White Lotus where it is being filmed.
Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify, and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Alexandra Boti, Candace Lim, and me, Kate Lindsay. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Hillary Fry is Slate's editor-in-chief. See you online.
Or at a Nashville Sephora.
Get the Angel Reese special at McDonald's now. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. Sound good?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating restaurants for a limited time.
Ready to make the most of your creativity and design beautiful and functional interior spaces? At Rocky Mountain College of Art and Design, you can hone your expertise in drafting, space planning, lighting design, and more with an online or on-campus BFA in interior design. Learn how to transform spaces to meet the needs of your clients with focus areas in residential, commercial, hospitality, sustainability, and more. Creative futures start here. Visit RemCAD at rmcad.edu today.